Welcome back to the study of the book of Romans. This is the second lesson. We will deal with chapter 1, verse 1 to 7. Let us read chapter 1 to 7. If you have the Bible, you can read with me. Let us read chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scripture regarding his son, who, as to his human nature, was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1 to 7 is the salutation or the greeting of Paul at the opening of this letter is very important. Can you see the importance of the greeting? I see three things in this greeting. In this greeting, Paul identifies what? Himself. Then he identifies his message. And then he identifies his Lord. Now, he calls himself a servant of Christ. As you know, servant here means slave. The Greek word here means slave. A slave is someone who has complete devotion to his master. So Paul is affirming that he belongs to Christ without any reservation. The term is applied to Abraham in Genesis 26, verse 24. Moses, you can see that it's in Joshua 1, verse 2, and the prophets of the time of Amos. Look into Amos chapter 3, verse 7, and also Isaiah chapter 20, verse 3. There you can see they were called servants of God. The same meaning. Paul may be affirming that he stands in the succession of the prophets. Paul may be saying that he is in the line of those prophets who were completely living, obeying for the Lord God Almighty. Thus he says he is the slave of Christ and put Christ in the highest possible place, just like the Old Testament prophets gave Yahweh the highest position. Paul is giving the highest position to Jesus Christ, the Lord. He says he is the slave of Christ, just like the Old Testament prophets gave God the highest honor. Paul gives Christ the highest honor. Now, he says that he is called to be an apostle or a called apostle. Paul's calling is identified as an apostle. You know, the term apostle may be used in a general sense of any believer who goes out under the commission of Christ. But it is never used in that sense in the New Testament. Paul's idea of an apostle is one who had seen the resurrected Lord, and the one who had seen Christ in the flesh after the resurrection, and the one who had received his commission and knowledge of the gospel directly from Christ and not from man or tradition. You know, the 12 disciples whom Jesus called were held in high honor. But Paul does not see his apostleship as in any way inferior to that of any. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 5 and 12 verse 11. You know, make sure read those verses. And we can see he has seen the Lord. Paul has seen the Lord. That is 1 Corinthians 9:1, and had been commissioned by him. Galatians 1:1. Paul says he is set apart for the gospel of God. Paul said he is a slave. He is a called apostle. Now he is saying he is set apart for the gospel of God. In Galatians 1:15, he used this verb of his being set apart from birth as a Pharisee, which means set apart. Paul would have regarded himself in this light when he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. In regards to law, a Pharisee, Philippians 3:5. Now he is separated to a greater purpose. That is, Paul is separated to the gospel. You understand? So as a Pharisee, he was set apart for certain things. Now the word set apart means a very different meaning. Here he says, he is set apart for the gospel. Acts 13:2. The word basically means good news. He says, Paul says, he set apart for some good news. And in his mind, without any doubt, he believes that there is no good news to compare with the news of what God has done in Christ for man's salvation. This is what Paul is separated for. You know, he was once against this gospel. He was once persecuting the people who talk about Jesus. But do you know what happened to him at Damascus? And the appearance of Jesus Christ changed the entire life of Paul. And now he, anxiously declare, without any doubt, without a shadow of doubt, one thing which he considers as gospel is, or good news is, not the law, not what his religious background is, but the saving work of God, which is done through Jesus Christ. Not only to preach, but to live the gospel was what Paul is talking about. Paul is separated not only to preach, but to live the gospel. Or in other words, he was not just preaching it, but he was living the gospel. Preaching is important, but then so is living. It is very important for a Christian to live the gospel and to preach it. Paul's life was a way of life, as well as a task of preaching. Now, listen to what Paul says. Paul says the gospel is the gospel of God, as in Mark 1:14, Romans 15:16, 2 Corinthians 11:7. In other places, Paul sees it as the gospel of his son. Verses 9 of chapter 1. And the gospel of Christ, chapter 15, verse 19. And Paul says, it is my gospel. Read chapter 2, verse 16, and 16, verse 25. The preacher must make the gospel his own. The ultimate source of the gospel is God. That what it means when the gospel is the gospel of God. It is rooted in God's eternal purpose. It is promised in Scripture. See, look at the next word he used, Scripture. It is the concern of God for his people and his will to save them. See, God's plan, God's plan of salvation, or gospel, is God's unchanging purpose, which is evident from the fact that it was promised beforehand in the Scripture. In Galatians, Paul describes the promise God made to Abraham as the gospel preached to Abraham. Galatians 3:8. Read whole chapter of Galatians 3. The subject matter of prophets preaching was Jesus Christ and his suffering. And they preached this gospel by the Spirit of Christ who was in them. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Also, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Notice that the prophets are called his prophets. Paul is not speaking of man of vision or general visions. He is speaking of men who belong to God. See, the vehicle of his message. Let me say it again. Paul is speaking of men or prophets are those who belong to God. That's why it says his prophet, who is the vehicle of his message. When a promise is given through such men, then clearly it is the promise of God. So there is unadulterated message through the prophet. They are simply the mouthpiece. God's word come through them. It's not for any profit they do it, but it is the calling upon them to deliver the message without any adulteration. Paul has in mind all the Old Testament writers. You know, Paul, when he talks about God's prophet, he's talking about all the Old Testament writers. You know, in Hebrews 1:1 talks about, let me read that. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. So, his prophets. So, Paul, when talks about the Holy Spirit, Scripture or holy is emphasizing the character of this writing as holy. It was important to Paul, as to all the early Christians, that the gospel was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. See, at the Damascus experience, Paul recognized the fulfillment of the scripture when Jesus spoke to him. What an experience! What a revelation! All the knowledge of Paul, all his education became functional and fruitful when he realized that what he was learning in the past is what is standing before him. It is the realization in action, or in other words, what is the content of the gospel, which Paul explains. That is the description of God's Son, who is described here in terms of his humanity, his deity, his titles, and his works. In this description, Paul gives us a full picture of his doctrine of Christ. Now, in relation to his human nature, listen, he became the seed of David. That is, something happened to him. Jesus was in body, soul, and spirit fully man in the line of David. His humanity has a specific point of beginning, namely the conception and birth in and from the womb of Virgin Mary. So Paul says that he became of the seed of David, as it is written in 2 Samuel chapter 7 verse 12 to 14 and Jeremiah 23 verse 5, the Son of God stepped into the stream of history and into the lineage of King David. This lineage, Christ's humanness has a temporal beginning point. Under this relationship, he holds the kingly title of Son of David. You know, Jesus does not call himself Son of David. And, you know, on occasions, he seems to distance himself from the title. You know, if you read Mark 12:35-30, that the Messiah would be of David's line, and because of popular messianic expectations, he put no emphasis on the fact, on the level of flesh of human life, Jesus really was a descendant of David. That is chapter 9, verse 5. Now, next week, we will look into the divine nature of Jesus Christ. Until that time, God may bless you and keep you and come prepared to continue the study. Thank you.